There's an old saying, when you see a fork in the road, take it. But what happens if you see two forks in the road? That's where today's guest found himself almost a year ago, at a crossroads, professionally and personally. How do you decide if the time is right to change careers, go back to school, and move across the country? Stay tuned to find out. Okay, my special guest today is Alexander Groot. Alexander is a longtime friend, and I am really excited to have him on the show. Welcome.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm excited to chat with you today.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about a crossroads that you found yourself in. Can you set the stage? What was that crossroads exactly?
Yeah, so about a year and a half ago, I had been in my job at Santa Clara University as campus minister for a couple years. And I was trying to think about kind of if I was happy in that role, if I could see myself doing it in the long run. That kind of coincided with my girlfriend and then fiance at the time, now wife, Ashley and I kept thinking about where we wanted to plant our roots in the long run. We were living in San Jose, and we were still an 8-hour drive away from my family. Her family's from Syracuse. So we were a cross-country flight away from her family. And that was kind of tough on both of us to feel far away. And so just kind of thinking about what we wanted the long run of our life to look like, kind of set us at this crossroad of, you know, do we stay here? Do we move? Do I stay doing ministry, whether we stay here or we move? Is there a change that needs to be made? And, you know, we spent months thinking about this and considering what we should do. And eventually in 2019, we decided, wanted to set down some roots that could last us for a long time. And so we ultimately decided to move to Syracuse to be closer to family. And I decided to go back to school for a second master's in clinical mental health counseling. And maybe we can talk about some of the reasons for that later. But we've been in Syracuse now for a little over a year. We arrived here about a month before the pandemic went wild. And so far, so good. So it's had its ups and downs, obviously, but it's been overall a really positive move.
That sounds like a lot. I mean, moving across the country in general is huge. So is switching careers. And then having that decision begin to play out right before a global pandemic, that has to throw you for a loop.
Yeah, it definitely did. I think one thing that was actually like kind of good about it was like everybody was kind of in this holding pattern starting last March, where, you know, I had not found a job like in ministry or otherwise at that point. And at that point I was kind of thinking, well, maybe I'll go back to school part-time and I'll do like ministry full-time and, you know, I'll kind of trudge through this program maybe in like 4 or 5 years and come out on the other side of it as a counselor doing something different. But with the pandemic, that kind of was a hard break for everybody. So it meant that making that decision was in some ways a little bit easier, because it was like, well, if there's ever a time to go back to school, this is a moment to reset for the world and for us.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. It sounds like in some ways, you know, school is a safe place, right? It's something that can anchor you a little bit when there's so much chaos going around. Were there other things that helped you to feel anchored or stable at that time?
I don't know. Maybe this sounds sappy, but, you know, really it was my relationship with Ashley, with my then fiance. We got married back in June. just really our relationship. She is a physical therapist. So she just started working at a hospital basically a week and a half before the pandemic went nuts here in New York. So that was a brutal transition for her, but really, like, we were so isolated that it was just the two of us. And in some ways it felt like kind of the two of us against the world. We were our pod and our safe place. So it was really that relationship that was the anchor for me.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I think it's okay if that's a little sappy, because I think that's really honest as well. It's like other people sometimes are the only constant we can rely on when catastrophe is all around us, right? So you mentioned that you're interested in making a career change. That's something I'm curious about. But the one thing that also kind of stands out to me is, you know, you're somebody who had like a pretty stable work life that you were beginning to establish. You're pretty well educated, and now you're in a place where you're thinking about master's number two. And I'm curious if that was something you were excited about, or if that was something that was a hard decision to make because you had already had a certain level of education. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. It was a difficult decision to make. My first master's is a Master of Divinity from Boston College. It's a 3-year master's program, and it's a lot of my program's focused on Catholic ministry, spirituality, theology, all that sort of stuff. And while I enjoyed my time in Boston, I had some wonderful friends. It's where I met Ashley. The actual school part of it was really tough. School has historically been easy for me. I hate to say it. It feels arrogant to say, but like through undergrad, like I never really struggled with like classes or getting things done on time. That changed in a big way for me during my first graduate program. I took an incomplete at one point for a class and had to kind of circle back on that the next year, to finish up the course for that. And it was a tough time academically, very stressful, very challenging. But I guess time heals many things, because I had kind of forgotten about how difficult that was. So that was kind of in the back of my mind. But, you know, I knew that I wanted to make a big change. And I thought the only way that I would really be able to do that was going to be by going back to school. So the big reason, would it be appropriate for me to kind of talk about the reasons behind this change right now?
That was going to be my next question.
Okay. Yeah. So the reason for the change is while I was at Santa Clara, I ran this program called Christian Life Community, which is a collection of small faith sharing groups that are mostly student led, that also incorporates larger community activities around spirituality, service and social justice, and community. And this was a program I was involved in undergrad. I loved it. I was part of the leadership there. And while I think that program is really valuable, and I loved the results of the work, I was just feeling kind of burnt out on it. And the main reason for that was the community leadership aspects. I think that community is super important for me. It's why religion can be valuable, because it's spirituality done in community, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I am not a very charismatic or natural community leader. I really struggled with the number of people that would come to events, the experiences of recruiting and marketing, and sometimes politics that went on around that. And that stuff just really wore on me. Mm-hmm. And it did not feel sustainable in the long run. But the part that I did love was having the opportunity to walk with the students kind of individually. I had 5 to 10 interns, and I would meet with each of them weekly. And we talk about business and stuff and the programs that they were running, but also just kind of checking in, like, how are things going? How can I help you? What are some of the things that you might want to talk about this week? And then having meetings with like various students in the community kind of at large. And those are the parts that I really, really loved. If a student would come into campus ministry and they would say like, I just need to talk to somebody. A lot of times our front desk workers, or our admin would send them my way because they knew that I loved those conversations. And that was the stuff that I really could never get enough of. And I felt like if I stayed in ministry, there was always going to be those community aspects, those marketing pieces that I was never going to get away from. And I think those are necessary. I think they're good. But I'm just not really cut out for that. And so it got me thinking like, well, how can I live into this sort of one-on-one relationship accompaniment piece that I really do get a lot of life from? I could have back-to-back meetings with students, one-on-one-on-one, and I would not feel drained at the end of the day at all. Whereas if we had one community event on Friday night, in some ways I would be dreading it all week because I'd be worried, you know, how many people are going to be there? Has everyone done their part to get everything done that needs to be done? Is it going to be successful? And I just did not find a lot of life in creating the space for that. Even though what it did create was beautiful. It wore me out. And so kind of through all that, I thought about how can I live into the things that give me life and that I think I'm gifted at. And ultimately I arrived at counseling, where I have the opportunity to work with people on a one-on-one basis a lot more consistently than in ministry. And of course, like with counseling, there's going to be advocacy pieces and community outreach sort of things that are part of it, but it's a different thrust than in my experience of ministry.
I can relate. I think as somebody who's done the work of a campus minister as well, number one, burnout is pretty high, and that's a real issue for a lot of us, and maybe for some listeners too. And the other thing it sounds like is, which is a pretty universal experience, is there are a few parts of the job that you love so much, they really sustain you, but then there's a lot of other stuff, and it's different for everybody, but there are always those other things that just take up so much life. And I like the way you illustrated, like, it could be just one community event, but it feels massive. Is that kind of how it was?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it could just be knowing that there was going to be 2 hours on Friday night for something fun, even like a winter ball or just a Thanksgiving dinner or something.
Right.
And that would just take up so much of my energy and worry. And I just wasn't super good at letting go of kind of putting that trust, I guess, into the hands of my students and maybe even God kind of in those sort of circumstances. So it could be like just like 1/10 of what I was actually doing for my work that week, but it would take up 75% of my brain power throughout that week.
Right. Well, you know what I think is really important to pay attention to there is you're illustrating this point that there are times in life or at work, or whatever, where you kind of look at what's on your slate and you're like, well, this should be fun, or like this, I'm prepared for this. I should be, you know, ready to go. And it doesn't feel that way, right? And so that could be a sign that you're ready to change. The other thing you mentioned that I really love is like, you know, just imagining yourself having those back-to-back-to-back meetings one-on-one kind of exciting you and giving you life. That's another thing to pay attention to. Do you think that you were able to kind of like at the end of the day, just look back and say like, okay, these were the things that I really loved, and that's, you know, what I need to do more of? Or was there like something else that kind of made you realize like, yeah, maybe counseling, the one-on-one counseling is the route for me?
Yeah, I think it was that to a major degree. I especially noticed it in parts of the semester, or there it's quarters, parts of the quarter where there we didn't have a lot of events going on. Kind of as we headed into finals week, our events kind of wrapped up for the quarter, but I kept up with those meetings, and I would walk out of there and be like, wow, what a great day. And at the end of each quarter, I would like look back and be like, man, like, why do I feel so rejuvenated at the end of this semester while all of the students look so sad and beat up? And I was like, you know, we haven't had any events in like 2 weeks, but I've still had the same number of meetings, sometimes even more. And I feel so energized by this work. And then thinking about, okay, well, the new quarter is happening in 2 weeks' time again. So we're going to be back into it. And just like dreading that. So just really seeing that juxtaposition, that contrast between the weeks that gave me life versus the ones that drained me. It made it pretty clear of like what I might need to do to be able to sustain energy in whatever work I decided upon.
So at some point you kind of realize, well, I want to transition from taking care of people on like this big community scale to maybe doing it like individually one at a time, right? And you know that, you know, having some more education is going to help. So you begin this second master's program. Were there moments of doubt at all? And if so, how did you face those?
A large source of doubt was thinking about going back to school while my wife is kind of several years into her career. And just like being doubtful about, you know, like maybe it would be better just to kind of like suffer through some of the challenges in order to have like a regular sort of 40-hour a week job, or so that I could have like a normal schedule so that I could make a little bit more money. All those doubts definitely crept in and still do creep in from time to time. You know, right now I'm working a part-time hourly job at a national retailer. Mm-hmm. And that is not always my favorite thing. And so there are days when, you know, I still think about like, wow, like, dude, you have like a master's degree, like, is this really what you need to be doing? Like with your time, like, do you need to like get all stressed out about these classes and these projects and these papers and everything and checking all these boxes? But at the end of the day, like I recall the conversations that I had with students, and I remember the faces of those relationships that I built while I was a campus minister, in being able to have the space for those sort of one-on-one experiences. And I think I need to get back to those. I need to have those kind of experiences and relationships again. And while this tunnel that I'm crawling through right now is challenging at times, I believe that I will be able to get back there and that there are good things ahead.
I'm curious if you can speak to this, what it was like involving, which I imagine your wife was involved in that decision-making process. Like, it's not easy to say, hey, I'm the one who needs to be supported a little bit here. Especially like you said, after you've had such a stable job and have that level of education, how was it talking that out with her?
You know, not all that difficult. I think she is incredibly supportive of me. And really wants the best for me kind of at every turn. The initial decision wasn't one that was super difficult with her. I think we initially, one of the challenges, I guess, that did kind of come up was in changing the thinking around, like initially I thought that I was going to be a part-time student and still work full-time. And as the pandemic unfolded and that reality didn't really seem to be a possibility, kind of adjusting those expectations did cause some hiccups, as we kind of figured out, well, what is this going to look like for the next 2 years? How can we make decisions about our future kind of amidst some ambiguity here? And luckily, she's amazing. And she's so understanding and wants the best life for me that I can have. And so we were able to find a way together to be up against some of the challenging circumstances and ultimately make hard decisions, but ones that mean that we'll be happier and that I'll be happier.
I think that's important to hear too, because it is scary to ask, you know, a partner like, hey, I kind of need you to carry us for a little while, because it's ultimately going to lead us to a place where we're both happier. And I mean, that, you know, is a happier home and a happier relationship. That's what we all want, right? So,
right.
I want to go back to you and your students. I think that the idea of using your imagination or your memory definitely harkens back to Ignatian spirituality. I love that there's some motivation in that. I think that that's tricky. I know it's easy for me to forget, like, you know, use the students as a reminder of, like, this is the kind of work that you want to be doing. I'm wondering if there were other moments of affirmation that you had made the right decision along the way. Were you able to recognize those?
Yeah, I think so. As part of this counseling program, we do a lot of like role plays where one of my classmates will practice being the client and have these presenting concerns and need to talk through things, or maybe I'm practicing some sort of intervention with them, or some sort of like counseling micro skill. And it's always difficult to know, like, is this weird? Am I doing a good job? And even in the times when I'm like, oh man, I am just blowing this right now. I am just, my head's not here today. I am not embodying the kind of counselor that I want to be. The feedback that I get from my peers, at least, and, you know, maybe they're just being nice, is very positive. Usually when we do these sort of things, people say like, wow, that you just seem so natural at that. It seems like you're so relatable, like you're so easy to talk to. You're not pushy, but you kind of help get the client somewhere. You don't seem like you have to think that much about enacting these sort of skills that we're practicing. And that makes me feel really good, to be honest. Like, I wish that I didn't care that much about my peers' opinions, but I do.
Sure.
And so just like in those, through those role plays, really, like, I find a lot of life, because like I enjoy doing those a lot. And both like as the counselor and as the client, I don't know, maybe there's an improv career under there somewhere. I don't know. probably not. But I really enjoy those, and just like thinking about what would I actually do in this sort of situation. And I guess that kind of goes back to that imagination piece that we were talking about before. I can imagine myself in the role, and it just like gets me excited. And there seems to be some really positive feedback around it too. So not only does it feel like it's something that feels good to me to do, but it's something that I think I can be really successful at and really be able to help people in a meaningful way. And that's ultimately my goal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, being able to see yourself in the role is one thing, but then also recognizing, like you said, that makes me excited, or that sparks something within me, right? That's really important to pick up on. And I think as far as, you know, your peers' feedback, I mean, I'm like you, I wish I didn't care that much, but I do. That's just realistic. And yet I think there is a piece of this where you say vocation is what, where, you know, your deep desires meet the world's great needs or something like that. And certainly right now people need a little extra support with their well-being. And if you're being told you're good at it, well, that could be a vocation. So, if I could sidebar though for a second, I'm curious about the role play. And you mentioned an improv career. I'm glad you did. What is that like? Because I always picture, like, it's probably really easy when you're the one who's pretending to be a counselor, right? But no one goes into this thinking, I'm going to have to do some acting, right? So what's it like when you got to play the role of, like, the person who's asking for help?
Yeah, you know, so we did role plays in, I think, two of my classes, maybe, in my first master's program. I think it was like pastoral care and counseling. So like fairly similar stuff. And I dreaded those so much the first couple times we had it. And then the more we did it, I was like, actually, like, I kind of get a kick out of this, both as the minister in that case, and as the person being ministered to. And so I know that some people in my program still just like get really like pulled out of it. They're just like, well, I don't know this person's life. Like, I can't do it. But like, I really get in there, and like, I like to like kind of think on my feet and like make stuff up and be like, you know, if the person who's counseling me is like, wow, that sounds like a really tough time. Like, what in your like history, like, makes you think about it that way? Like, I can just like go to town, and I really get a kick out of it. I don't know why, but I really enjoy it. I know other people don't as much as I do, but I really like to lean into it.
Well, see, I think it's so important to continue engaging your creative mind, you know, and I think for a lot of us, as we grow up, we kind of lose those outlets, at least socially acceptable ones. So, it's cool that you still have that. And I wonder if on some level it makes you better at counseling, because, you know, here you are trying to imagine, like, well, what leads a person to the point where, you know, they feel like, you know, X is their only option, right?
Yeah, exactly. I really try and do think about it that way. I mean, even as the counselor, part of like having an empathic connection is like being able to put yourself in the other person's shoes. And right. So I think the more practice that I have of doing that or putting myself into somebody else's situation, it's like, obviously I'm never going to be able to simulate completely what they're feeling or what they experienced. That's not realistic, but it is going to help me get closer to understanding what's going on inside. As long as I make sure I don't just assume that what I'm thinking is their reality.
I'm not sure that you would know this yet, but do you have an idea of where you see this going? Because I think for some people, you know, a counseling degree can feel a little nebulous, or I'm not really sure what that means. It could mean a lot of things. I want to sell this to my, you know, family or whoever. Where do you see this going for yourself?
Yeah, that's a really good question. A lot of people in my program have a very clear sense of what population they want to work with, whether that's children in schools or whether that's adults with more severe diagnoses, or whether it's college students. And for me, that is still kind of up in the air. So I have experience working with college students. That's obviously what got me to this point so far. But I'm not 100% sure that I want to stick there. So kind of part of my program, and maybe this is too nuts and bolts, is doing a practicum and then an internship experience where we have a kind of intensive experience of supervision where counseling sessions with clients will be recorded, and then I'll review those with a supervisor, kind of talk through things, process, all that sort of fun stuff. And so when like thinking about what kind of site I wanted to be at, initially I was like, well, like I have loved working with college students. Maybe I could see my career like returning there in higher education. But that's an experience that I've had already. I know I like it. that would feel kind of safe. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to have this opportunity to make some mistakes in a controlled, somewhat controlled environment where my work is being reviewed and I have the opportunity to hit a metaphorical button where I can say, get me out of here. Like, I need help. There's always going to be someone available to me as I'm working through my practicum internship to bail me out if I am struggling to figure out what to do. And so I will be working in a community health organization starting in the fall in their outpatient dual treatment recovery program for people who, for the most part, have experienced addiction. That's a population that I've had some personal exposure to through my own family, but haven't worked with in any sort of professional or ministerial setting up to this point. And so I don't know what that experience is going to be like. Maybe that's a population that I fall in love with and want to keep working with after I graduate, but you know, maybe not. Maybe it's just a time for me to experience something new and to gain some new skills that I don't yet have. Short story long is I am not sure exactly where this is going to go kind of in the long run, and what sort of population or what sort of setting I'm going to end up in. But I know that I like to sit with people as they sort things out and hopefully provide them some comfort, some support, and some help in a way that's going to help them live their best life.
Well, I just want to offer a big congratulations to you. I think walking this path is not easy. And I think it's really admirable that you're choosing to do what's completely different with this new opportunity. Because then you can really find out if you like this or not. You will learn better by doing, right? So do you have any advice that you would give to somebody considering a similar path? Whether that would be moving, changing jobs, any of it.
I don't know if it's good advice, but maybe I have some advice. I think Ashley and I handle the future differently. And I think they're equally good ways. And maybe that's the reason that we work out well. She really focuses on action-oriented problem solving when a challenge arises. And by thinking about really the positive possibilities that are available by any series of choices. So thinking about moving back to Syracuse, like really focusing on the positives, thinking about the opportunities that will be available to us having moved. I really like to think about like worst case scenario and think like, could I live with that? It's kind of like a little sick game. And like when I go back to school, just like, I did do my best to like sit with the experience I had at Boston College to be like, dude, that was tough on you. Like worst case scenario, it's worse than that. Like, can you live with it? Can you get through it? And ultimately the answer is yes. So just kind of like thinking, for me, it's helpful to really think about, okay, if things really go down the tubes, how could I handle that situation? And if I can kind of problem solve my way around that, and I feel good about the decision in the end to say like, wow, like that was some tough stuff to go through and I'm still happy with the decision, then I get a sense of affirmation about that, a sense of consolation. A more concrete piece of advice would be just kind of thinking about if you're unhappy, I know a lot of people are kind of dissatisfied with their current situation, whether that's at their job or where they live or, you know, whatever it may be. I think that it's, if possible, I think it's helpful to think about, okay, like I'm in a situation that I don't love, but something got me here. So like what led me to this point in the first place? Why did I make the decisions that I made? Maybe I was misinformed, or maybe things weren't the way that I expected, or maybe I made a mistake along the way. But what got you to that moment? So like for me, when I was doing ministry, you know, what got me to that moment is thinking like, I want to help people. I want people to know their worth and to feel beloved and to live as well as they can. And ultimately that path was not exactly what I expected. And it meant that I was more burnt out than I anticipated, but it meant that like, I could still think about what gave me life in that moment. And then when contemplating a change, it kind of gave me something to go back to say like, all right, so ministry maybe is not the career path for you. Is there another avenue that can key into those things that you wanted at the beginning and blend that together with the information that you know now? All right, community work is kind of out. You're never going to find that much life in that. How can you live into this deep desire to help people, to accompany them in a way that is reflective of who you are and the kind of person that you want to be? And maybe that means like a huge decision, like going back to school and making sacrifices, but leaning into that aspect of the decision making is something that I kind of come back to even when the school part gets tough.
Well, Alexander, you've given us so much great information to sit with. I really appreciate your time, and I owe you a big thanks.
No problem. I love talking about myself, so this was perfect. Thanks for inviting me.
Alexander Garut is a husband, mentor, and my best man. He studies mental health counseling at Syracuse University. He's a fantastic listener, and if you're considering a career change or a trip back to school, he'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with him or any of our guests by emailing the show, adventurewithgino@gmail.com. If you liked today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and share. Maybe even leave a review. Reviews really help more people discover the show. Until next time, you can connect with me on Twitter. I'm @TheGinoAltumura.